Morning. Today's daf in Gittin's Lamed Hay. We begin today on the Mishnah Lamed Dalmed Beis. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as they're going to sponsor, but Gabriela Bashmuel. We're in the middle of the fourth parak of the Masechta, we have been discussing issues regarding Tikkun Olam, and that the Mishnah is going to continue to do. We're going to be discussing for the rest of this parak and also into the next parak as well. Aspects of Tikkun Olam, certain takanas that were made by Chachmei Yisrael in order to make institutions that were necessary to evaluate various halachas that either needed to be evaluated. We'll go through all the examples. We'll see exactly certain takanas that were made. This all began because just a couple of days ago, when we started the perek, we talked about the first takana that was made by Rabbi Gamliel. Remember the beginning of the fourth perek. The Mishnah there went on to cite that really what could happen is that a husband could be mavatal get even not in the presence of the shliach, as long as the get hasn't gotten to the hands of the wife. He has the ability to mavatal get, and he can do so just in front of a beis din, but without communication, without the wife knowing that the get was mavutal. So that obviously could result in terrible consequences. So Rabbi Gamliel made a takana that no one is allowed to be mevatel get in front of Beis Din and not directly confront the shliach or the wife herself in terms of being mevatel the get. We learned in the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Amud Beis, that there was a takana that was made that a person, when writing a get, has to put on all his names. The names, the alias, so that has to go on a get as well. A person goes by multiple names in multiple locations, so the possibility lies in the fact that somebody in the other location is going to look at the get and not recognize their name, call into question the validity of the get. So takana was made that on the document itself, you write the name and all the aliases that were under. We talked yesterday briefly about the machlokas, exactly how you write the other aliases. Okay, but anyway, that was what we learned in yesterday's daf. Today's daf, more discussions. Ein aman nifras minichse yisomim. We have two competing values over here. True of the matter is it's a tough sugya. It's not difficult in terms of learning, although you know it could be. But tough just in terms of arriving at the following conclusion. But it's a conclusion based on, you have two competing values. On one hand, you have a widow. On the other hand, you have orphans. Okay, those are obviously two very emotional values, but they're competing at one another. Look, on one hand, you have the orphans who just inherited the estate of their father, and they don't have a father on top of that. So the Chachamim did a number of things to protect the estate of orphans, and one of the things they did is that that if anyone's going to come collect, and even if that person who's coming to collect in fact is owed the money, so they and there's a shibud on the property and there's a lien against the estate that they just inherited, so obviously they're entitled to get it. But the other hand, the Chachamim want to protect the orphans. So a measure of protecting the orphans is that you, who are the note holder, you can only come and collect from the orphans, but only with a shvuah. You cannot come and collect without a shvuah. So that's one that's one value. On the other hand, we also have the amana. We have the widow. Now the widow, the halacha goes like this. While she's married and her husband was alive, so obviously the husband is her means of support. The husband's going to support her. When the husband dies, so the estate has to pay her mizonos. And that will continue until she demands a ksuva. Once she demands a ksuva, so then they're going to have to pay the ksuva, and obviously she's no longer, not obviously, but at that point in time, she's no longer entitled to mizonos. Here the problem goes as follows. She now is coming to collect her ksuva. She's a note holder, meaning that ksuva is a note that says that in the event of death or divorce, I'm entitled to a sum of money. So she's a note holder, and she's now going against, now I know they're her children, but again, let's just look at it from a strictly financial standpoint. They're going after she's going after the estate, and she's going to now collect from the orphans. So in order for her to collect, she has to make a shvuah. Okay, and
the shvuah says she didn't collect.
And the shvuah is correct. And the shvuah is that she has not yet received any prepayment or any partial payment of her ksuva that she stands to collect. So the Mishnah says, "Ein amanin nifras minichsei yisomim ela b'shvuah." So the first thing the Mishnah tells us is just something which is halachically factual, that when she comes and collects her ksuva, so she's going to go now to the orphans and she's going to say, "Hi, I'm interested now in my ksuva, and on top of that, I'm ready to make a shvuah that I haven't gotten paid anything as of yet." Okay, so far so good. That's just simply a halachic fact. Nimnu melahashbiya. But then, here we get to the problem. The problem is that the Chachamim didn't want her to make a Shvuah, for fear that she may have already collected some of her Ksuva. We'll see. The Gemara is going to spell this out. But I mean, obviously, the Mishnah doesn't give any explanation. I'm giving the explanation right now, but really, I'm doing it so based on the Gemara that's later on. For fear that maybe she will have collected some of Ksuva, justify that collection, basically write it off as, ugh, that wasn't a Ksuva payment. That was, you know, I've been taking care of the kids since he died. In other words, so she will justify whatever she collected as not being her Ksuva payment. She'll write it off, and then she'll make a Shvuah that she hasn't collected any of her Ksuva yet, and she's basically going to make a false Shvuah. So they prevented her from making a Shvuah. So here now becomes a significant problem. Meaning, on one hand, she's a widow who's entitled to a Ksuva. On the other hand, because of this conundrum where you can only collect from these women with a Shvuah, the Chachamim prevented her from making a Shvuah. So now, effectively, she's not allowed to collect her Ksuva. That's a problem. So Hitkin Rabbi Gamliel Zaken Shetaino Deres Liyisomim Kol Mashiyirtzu Vegovik Suvasa. So along comes Rabbi Gamliel, made a Takana, realizing that this is an impossible situation where a woman now in Almana is not being able to collect her ksuva. So Rabbi Gamliel's Takana is okay. I can't allow you to make a shvua. Meaning the Chachmei Yisrael, the Bati Dinam are right. You should not make a shvua. Okay, again, we'll articulate the reasons later on, but you're right. Fine, we're not going to make a Shavua. But you know what we'll do? We'll allow you to make a Neder. Now, a Neder is less than a Shavua. Okay, Nedarim Shavua is very similar to one another. But basically, the difference is that a Shavua, you are making an oath. We'll describe it later on. There's a Rashi in today's daf I'm going to highlight. But basically, you're making a Shavua in Beis Din, holding a Sefer Torah, holding a pair of tefillin, using Shem Hashem. It is most serious. And the repercussions of making a false Shavua are most serious. A neder, on the other hand, slightly lighter. A neder is basically where you take an object, you forbid an object towards yourself. Right, the Ron in the beginning of the Nedarim, remember this? The Ron says the basic difference between Shvuah versus Nedarim is that Shvuah is on the person, and neder is on the object. Right, the Shvuah is that I'm not going to, and whatever the Shvuah is, versus a neder being, a fruit are going to be offered to me. Okay, basic difference between neder and Shvuah, but for our purposes, all we need to know is that Nedarim are lighter than Shvuah. So Rabbi Gamliel says, we're not going to have her make a shvuah, but we'll have her make a neder. And as Rashi goes on to articulate, the neder will sound something like this. If I enjoyed any of the ksuva payment from this point going forward, all fruit will be usher to me, or whatever, you know, whatever food she really likes. And so basically, it'll effectively do the same thing the shvuah was done. Without Rabbi Gamliel, the only way they would have allowed it to collect is through a shvuah, because again, the only way you can collect from Yisomim is with a shvuah. But Rabbi Gamliel realized that that's impossible, meaning he agreed with the fact that she can't make a shvuah, but on the other hand, can't be that a woman's going to go have her ksuva being uncollected. It's an impossible situation. So therefore, what Rabbi Gamliel did is, we'll just simply take out shvuah or replace it with a neder. Then the Mishnah makes a second statement, which is that when it's a sign on the get document because of Tikkun Olam, we're going to discuss that in a couple days from now in the Gemara. And Hillel Hitkin Prizbol Mimnei Tikkun Olam. And also the Mishnah mentions that Hillel instituted Prizbol because of Tikkun Olam, and that also will be discussed in the future as well, not in today's daf. Today's daf will be solely dedicated to the first halach of our Mishnah, and that is that a woman was prevented from making a shvuah to collect her ksuva. Originally, what happened was that she was no longer able to collect her ksuva, so Rabbi Gamliel allowed his takana was that instead of shvuah, we'll replace it with a neder. Okay. Mayir Yaman Afilu Kuleama Nami Dakai Malan Habali Parim Nichse Yisomim Lo Yifra Ela Bishvua. So the Gemara's question is a very simple one. Our Mishnah is making this sound like this is a special halacha regarding an almana. If an almana is going to collect from her estate, from her deceased husband's estate, so she has to make a shvuah. The Gemara's question is very simple. It's everybody. Anyone who has a note and a lien against a person and he dies and wants to collect from the children are going to have to make a shvuah. So why is the Mishnah highlighting an almana? As if she's, you know, this is an unusual scenario. It's not unusual. This is the rule. So the Gemara says, almana, it's derech le'sakadat chamina mishim chinam. Akilu rabban gabam. Kamash malan. So the Gemara says like this. I might have thought that when it comes to the almana, so maybe she would get a dispensation of this halacha. Meaning, in general, a note holder is going to have to make a shvur in order to collect from the estate. But the almana, you would say that maybe a dispensation is made. You can collect without a shvur. And the Gemara's explanation why this havamina is because of chayin. What does chayin mean? We see time and again throughout the Gemara. Rashi explains pretty consistently throughout Shas that chayin over here means that basically we want to make marriage and men more attractive to women. And right, it's only so attractive men are in general. So you want to make it slightly more attractive. So basically, you can make it more attractive by instituting that you're going to get married and he'll take care of you, and even after he dies, you'll be able to collect the ksuva, and you won't have to make a shvua. Generally speaking, I know that if you're coming to collect from an estate, you have to make a shvua. You won't have to make a shvua. So therefore, to make marriage more appealing to women, so I might have thought that this rule that you have to, when you collect from something, you have to make a shvua, we'll waive that rule for you. That's the havamina. That's why I would have thought that an almana shouldn't have to make a shvua, kamash malan. And that's the havamina, but the now when the Mishnah is injecting a chiddush, and that is that even an almana has to make a shvua when she's coming to collect from the estate.
But didn't we say that the children are not obligated to pay their father's
only oral loans? Meaning, if it's a mivah peh, so then, and there's no shibud, so then that's right. So then, with him goes the when he dies, so does the obligation die as well. But here, if it's a, there's still, by the way, there's still some moral and ethical obligation for the children to pay back. But right, they're not obligated. Here we're talking about where it was a ksuva. It was against property. She has a note. The note is against the property. She has a lien on the property. That doesn't go away. Okay. So when nimnu mal hashbia, the Gemara starts off with now an explanation of our Mishnah. So again, the starting point of the discussion is that she's an amana. So for her to collect the ksuva from her orphan children, she's going to have to make a shvua. And then the Mishnah pointed out, but they prevented her from making a shvua. Why? My time up. So when now we're on the top of Lamed Hamad Aleph, two lines down. My time yilema mishum derav kahana damer of kahana var milah amar of Yehuda amar of ma'isa ba'adam echad. So the Gemara tells a story. Now I know it's anecdotal, and generally speaking, you can't develop policy based on an anecdotal episode. But as we'll see, it's not just an anecdote; it's emblematic, it's representative. Anyway, let's go through the incident. There was an incident with a person. It was during a year of famine. Shehivki dinarzav etz almana, where basically he handed a gold coin over to a widow, and he said, "Look, I'm entrusting you to hold on to this to watch it for me." So what does she do? She puts it in a safe place. She puts it in a jar of flour. But she forgot after some time. She forgot that the gold coin was in her pot of flour, or it was in a jar of flour. And absentmindedly, totally mistakenly, but it was just a slip of the mind. So then what she did is she took the flour, she baked bread with the coin, with the gold coin, and she handed it to a poor person. So then, sometime later, along comes the owner of the gold coin, the Amar La Havili Dinari. So he says, "Okay, thank you very much for watching my coin. Now do me a favor, can you give it back to me?" Amar Le Yehen Asam Hamavis Be'echan Mi Baneh Shel Osa Isha Im Nehinesi Mi Dinarecha. So she says to the owner of the gold coin, "First of all, I don't know where it is." I don't think Amar doesn't say that, but it's obvious. I don't know where it is. I'm really sorry. And I'm telling you, I didn't misappropriate it. I didn't use it for myself. And just to make sure that you know how serious I am and how honest I am, she's ready to now compromise one of her children, right? That's the expression. That woman, meaning it's a euphemism, meaning myself. One of my children should be poisoned. If I got any benefit from your gold coin. Okay, now again, what she forgot, she wasn't even aware, is that by accident she took the gold coin, baked it into a bread, and handed it over to a poor person. Amru lohayu yamimuatm ad shemeis echa mibaneha. So, and she made a klala against one of her children, and with a shvua, and one of her children in fact died. Ukishishamu chachamim bedavar amru. Now when the chachamim heard this, they realized shvuas are really potent. and they're really powerful and they're really dangerous. So their response is Amru ma mishin ishba be'emes kach anishba al-shaker. Now someone who made a shvua on emes, what she's saying was true. Now the Gemara itself is going to modify that statement. It wasn't totally true what she said, but it was mostly true. And meanwhile, she suffered the repercussions of making a shvua. So hanishba al sheker alachas kama v'chama. So here are the easiest kavachomer. Somebody who makes a shvua and it's almost true, and yet she suffered terrible repercussions because of the shvua that she made. So somebody who makes a shvua al hasheker, can you imagine what kind of repercussions that person's going to face? So that's the story. That's the anecdote. So a woman made a shvua, and because it wasn't perfectly true what she said, so as a result of that, she suffered repercussions. And this is the genesis of the reason why the Chachamim stopped having people make shvua in court, even at the expense of allowing a woman, an almana, to collect her ksuva. Now the Gemara first of all deals over here with what was the veracity of her statement. She said, I didn't get any benefit from the gold coin. Now, truth be told, she didn't. Meaning, what happened? She took the gold coin, absentmindedly baked it into the bread, but then she gave the bread to the ani. Now, I guess you could say that she got the zchus of the mitzvah, so maybe she got that. Okay, the Gemara doesn't mention that. And I could suggest, it's merely a suggestion, I could suggest mitzvah lav lahenes nitnu. Okay, good, Phil, you're reading my mind these days. So, and that the mitzvahs you don't get benefit from mitzvahs. Okay, anyway. But the Gemara is going to give a very concrete explanation in terms of what benefits she received from that gold coin. My Tommy Yansha, the Ishtar Shelei Makom Dinar. Because we know that the gold coin, when put into the jug of flour, creates a displacement. And so therefore, there was, it's a small volume, but there's a volume of that gold coin, which was displaced by the gold coin, which basically, she would have had to given her own flour, but let's say the recipe called for a cup of flour, so it was a cup of flour minus the gold coin. So I know it's a...
She wasn't selling it, though. She gave it.
Right, but that volume that it displaced was now saved her a gold coin's volume of flour. I know it's a small amount.
But she didn't sell it, she gave it.
Right, but she gave it, but she would have...
She didn't tell the guy, I'm giving you a certain amount.
Yeah, but she would have had to provide the flour on her own, so it saved her. It saved her from that small amount of flour. So, yeah.
Isn't there another reason why we might have thought that there's a special dispensation for the Almaron? She doesn't need a ketubah.
Of course she needs it. What do you mean she doesn't need it?
Didn't we learn ketubah?
She'll get supported.
That she doesn't need the document to collect the ketubah?
No. In other words, we're not talking about the paper itself. We're talking about the money, the actual money that she's receiving. That she, in other words, the paper only is as good as the money that's going to be given in exchange for it. We don't care about the paper. In other words, when we say she's not collecting her ketubah, it means she's not getting the money. That's what the Mishnah means. Wait, just one second. Let's just finish this thread. Umay koshin ishba be'emes. So umay shmi shinishba be'emes. So kemi shinishba be'emes. Now the Gemara points out over here. So really, the truth. Now that we know that she really did save. What did she save? She saved that little bit of flour that the gold coin displaced. So the Gemara says, so she didn't make an honest statement, so the Gemara clarifies, kemi shenishba be'emes. Yeah, so it's, she mostly made an honest statement. It was an honest mistake. So kemi shenishba be'emes, im shemha, ma'irya, amana, afilu grushanami. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me now that because of this anecdote, so therefore now legislation has been made in which we do not accept a shvua from a woman in order for her to collect her ksuva. So why is our Mishnah making this specific to a widow? Meaning, shouldn't it be that any woman should not be able to collect her ksuva? Because again, in order for it to collect her ksuva, you're going to have to make some sort of shvua. So why is this halacha specific to an amana? It could be that it's talking about a grusha as well. If the grusha is coming to collect from the estate. Which means that she divorced and then her husband died, and now she's turning to the children in order to collect her estate. So under those circumstances, we're going to say that, shouldn't we be saying the same thing? So the Gemara says, Grusha Nami, Alama Rav Zera Mashmo Lo Shana Ala Amana, Ava Grusha Mashbino So. So when it comes to the Grusha, we allow the Grusha to make a Shvua. So why should that be? So the Gemara's response to that is Osa. Grusha Mashmein Osa Amana Shani. So the Gemara explains. I'll tell you why this preventative measure of not allowing an Amana to make a shua is based on the following. So the Gemara says that when it comes to the Amana, we have what's called basically a rationalization. And she has a really good rationalization. But when all said and done, it's rationalization. But she has an excellent one. And that is, since her husband died, what does she have to do now? She has to take care of the kids. So let's say that either the husband, before he died, or let's say even the kids themselves, prepaid some of the ksuva. Easily, she could justify and say, look, that's not ksuva payment. You know what that is? I've been working tirelessly since the death of the husband, raising the kids, feeding the kids, right, taking care of the house. You know what? That money that I received, that was for services. That's not my ksuva payment. I know they said it was my ksuva payment, but we all understand. Even they understand. Can't be that that's really my ksuva payment. So she can easily justify and rationalize that whatever money she received is not towards the ksuva payment. Then when she's in court, she will feel comfortable now saying, I have not received a dollar yet regarding my ksuva payment. And all the monies that she received, she could just simply justify and say, that was something else. And then you get into the situation where she's in basin, she's making a shvua, and it's a shvua sheker. And now we go back to the story that we learned, and the repercussions of making a shvua sheker are so drastic.
So shouldn't she not be allowed to make a shavua?
Right. Isn't it? That's correct. That's what happened.
The grusha doesn't take care of the kids.
The grusha doesn't take care of the children. The
but I thought maybe I read it wrong. I thought they were saying that a monarch, rather a grusha, doesn't.
The grusha can make a shvua, and the almana can't. And the reason why the almana can't is because she'll justify any payment, any prepayment that she got, any partial payment she got of the ksuva.
The
almana
will justify
it. The grusha is not going to justify it. So in other words, her shvua will be a non-shvua.
In both cases, the husband died.
Yeah, in other words, if the grusha is facing her husband, so she doesn't have to... Right, correct. Okay, where do we stand right now? We have now al halacha. We have learned in our Mishnah, which is that in order to collect from the yisomim, you have to make a shvua. The almana, another note holder. I mean, not just any note holder, but another note holder who's coming to collect her ksuva from the estate, she's going to have to make a shvua. And based on an anecdote and an explanation, a rationalization of any payment that she received, she could just simply write off and say that wasn't her ksuva. She'll go to court. She'll make a shvua. She'll lie. Again, with a rationalization, she'll lie, she'll suffer those repercussions. So therefore, the Chachamim said, you cannot make a shvua in court, which led to an impossible conclusion, but it was a conclusion, and then she can't collect her ksuva. So Rabbi Gamliel realized that this was impossible. So Rabbi Gamliel made a takana that, okay, so what we'll do is, we'll sub out. We'll substitute the shvua with a neder. A neder is lighter, and so therefore we'll allow her to make a neder. I'm Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Rav Shmuel da Amri bar Abba, Rav Shmuel da Amri Tavai lo shana la bebeizden. Avachos the beizden mashmino so. So the Gemara says, even this, where we said that we're going to prevent her from making a shvua, that's only within beizden. But outside of beizden, we'll allow it to make a shvua. Let's highlight a Rashi today, right? The difference between making a shvua in beizden versus outside of beizden. So Rashi writes, it's Rashi's towards the top of the Amud, Chutz the beizden mashmino so, Shishvua se edayanim shol tarehi. When you make a shvua in beizden, that's a shvua shel Torah. So Dar writes a shvua. V'nakat sefer Torah b'yadei o tefillin. So number one, says Rashi, what identifies a shvua daraisa is that number one, you're holding on to either a sefer Torah or tefillin. Number two, says Rashi, when making a shvua daraisa, so you're going to use the Shem Hashem, or you're going to use a kinui of Shem Hashem. Kedash kecham ba'avram simna yadcha tachas yerechi v'ashbeich ba'Hashem. We find in Chayisara, Parshas Chayisara, with Avram and Eliezer, a shvua was made lekitas chayfetz. There was the dvar mitzvah that he was holding on to, the bris milah, and right, there was no sefer Torah to hold on to back then. Neither tefillin. Okay, but anyways, there was lekitas dvar mitzvah. There was Shem Hashem. Fine. V'onsha meruba, and consequently, because this shvua is so serious, it's the shvua daraisa. So Rashi goes on to write the consequences, the ramifications, the punishment for making a false shvua is increased. It's great. Chutz the beis din shvua derabanan. And now, outside of Beis Din, so it's a milder shvua. Rashi writes, Bekilas Arur. So the way you say it is that you curse. In other words, you curse yourself if you're telling a lie. Velona kamidi, and you're not holding on to a sefer Torah or to tefillin. Ve'inon shakokach. And so therefore, because the level of shvua is not as high, the degree of onish is also not going to be as high as well. And therefore, a woman, says Rav and Shmuel, can make a shvuah outside of court. So truth be told, is that really the only institution that we learned in the Mishnah of preventing a woman from making a shvuah, that's only in court. But outside of court, they can make a shvuah.
Here,
outside like Edom. There's a pair of Edom. Presumably. So the Gemara says, So I'm Ravina Marikay, Loshana Labez, and Vachutza Bez de Mashminosa. Eni, the Gemara says, is this right? Vaharav Lamabik Suvasal Amrilasa. Now, you're going to hear this a couple times this morning. And it was a tkufa amongst the early period of the Amoraim, which is the Rav did not allow an Amana to collect a ksuva, period. Meaning under any circumstance. Now again, it's an impossible situation. It seems strange. Meaning the entire institution of ksuva is so that a woman can collect afterwards. But again, because of the problems that we discussed since the beginning of this morning's daf, so therefore we can't allow her to collect. And Rav says under any circumstance, an amana cannot collect her ksuva. So the Gemara is bothered because just a couple of lines ago we said we made a distinction between in basin versus outside basin. And who made that distinction? Rav himself made the distinction between in basin and outside of basin. So the Gemara says, and now you're telling me that Rav doesn't allow for a Naman to collect suva? So Kasha. So the Gemara says, you know what? That's difficult. Meaning, I don't know how to align the fact that Rav made a distinction between in-based and out-of-based, and meanwhile, whenever Namana went over to Rav to collect her ksuva, Rav said, I'm really sorry. I'm terribly sorry, but we can't do it. B'stur mas nahachim ben narda mas nahachim ben narda. That is a slightly different version of this discussion. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, Loshan, Rav Be'based, Avachutz, the Be'based, Mashmin, Osar. Outside of Be'based, you can make a shvua. V'Rav Amar. Now, according to this version, it's going to work out well. Not for the Almana. But in terms of learning, in terms of alignment, it's going to work out well. Because Rav is of the opinion, Rav Amar, Filo Chutzah Basin Ami Ayim Yesh Binosa. So Shmuel makes the distinction between in basin and outside basin. Rav makes no such distinction and does not allow a woman to make a shvua neither in basin nor outside of basin. Rav Latami, the Rav Lomag, Bik Suvasal Amar Lasa. Now it fits in with what we know. Rav did not allow an Almana to collect her ksuva. Okay, Vili Adre Viligbe. Now the Gemara says, now I'm a little bit confused. Because remember, what did we learn together in our Mishnah? Everything Rav did was correct. Textbook. Meaning, a woman is coming to collect from the estate, you can't, because you can't make a shvua. You can only collect when you make a shvua. Problem is that the women, specifically the almanos, justify whatever payment they received, and so therefore when they're going to make a shvua, they're going to think that they're making a correct shvua, when meanwhile they're lying, and we talk about the repercussions, the ramifications of lying. So therefore we're not going to allow them to make a shvua. Everything textbook, like what we learned in the Mishnah. But then the Mishnah taught us that Rabbi Gamliel made a takana. And the takana was, is we'll sub out Shvua and we'll replace it with a neder. Rav lived well after Rabbi Gamliel. So why didn't Rav follow the takana of Rabbi Gamliel? Okay, so everything was textbook until the end. So why did Rav stop over there? Why didn't Rav abide by the takana of Rabbi Gamliel? That's essentially the Gemara's next question. The next question in the Gemara is Vili Adra Viligbe. So the Gemara says, so allow her to make a neder so that she can collect, because that's what Rabbi Gamliel instituted. So Bishnei Derav Kale Nidre. So the Gemara says that during Rav's time, during the generation of Rav, so people not only took shvuas lightly, but people took nedarim lightly as well. And so therefore, no one understood the seriousness of making a neder. And so basically during Rav's days, people would flippantly make nedarim left and right. And so we just simply cannot allow someone to take money from an estate and with the assurance and the security of, okay, I'm not going to make a shvua, but I'll make a neder, and you'll trust me on the neder. During the tkufa of Rav, people weren't careful about the nedarim as well. And as we'll see now in the Gemara, this continued. Meaning this policy of Rav, not allowing an amana to collect her ksuva, so it extended to the Talmidim of Rav as well. So the Gemara introduces us to Rav Huna. We know Rav Huna is a student of Rav. So the Kamed Rav Huna, so Amar La Ma Avid Lech. So the Rav Huna was extraordinarily apologetic, but he said, look, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do. The Rav La Magbi Ksuva La Amar Lasa. So Rav didn't allow the ksuva to be collected for the widow. So Amar Le Midi Hutai Ma'ala Dilma Nikitna Miyadi Miksuva Si. So this Amana, so she knew a thing or two. So she said to Rav Huna, look, I know what the issue is. You're concerned that I took some of the ksuva payment. So I'm here telling you that I didn't. And not only that, she went one step further. Chai Hashem Tzvakos. Imnei Nesim Iksuva Siklum. She made a shvuah and she said, right, by the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she used Shem Hashem. And when using Shem Hashem, she said, I did not benefit from any amount of my ksuva. So Am Rav Huna, Moderav Bekofet says, so Rav Huna says, oh, you hit the magic button. And that is that you made a shvuah. We can't ask you to make a shvuah in court. But if you go ahead and you make a shvuah on your own, your word's kofetzes. Kofetzes literally means to jump, right? She was kafetza v'nishba, hare nishba v'govas, and that's it. So in other words, we can't ask her to make a shvuah, but on our own, if she makes a shvuah, so that's good. In other words, we're going to accept it, and we'll accept, and we'll then allow her to collect her ksuva. Ha'ida ha'isal kamid d'rava barav huna amrala mai avid lech d'rav lo magbi ksuvasa. The Gemara tells another incident regarding Rava, the son of Rav Huna. A widow went over to him. She wanted her ksuva payment. My avid lech. So again, his response is, I'm really sorry. My father's Rebbe, Rav, didn't collect ksuva. So, Lamayavid, the Rav, Lamagbi ksuvasa, Lamalasa. Va'aba mari Lamagbi ksuvasa. And furthermore, I have it as a Masara. Rav didn't collect ksuva. My father didn't allow the collecting of ksuva for Namana, Lamalasa. Amale, Havli Mizone. So, in this story doesn't end well. So, in this story, so she says, okay, but you know what? Fine. You're not going to give me my ksuva, that's fine. But support, meaning since the death of the husband, part of the ksuva contract is the prenuptial of the ksuva is that she's going to be supported from the estate. So the estate has to support her. So she said, okay, you're ruling against me collecting my ksuva. At least allow me now to continue getting my support. So Amalam is on an Amalaislach. So he says, look, I'm really sorry, but you're no longer going to get your mizonos as well. Why? The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, HaTovas Ksuvas BeBezin, Ein La Mizonos. Once she makes the tvia, once she makes the demand for a ksuva and bezin, so that's it. That's when the mizonos stop. Rashi over here writes, why should that be? Why should there be, in other words, again, part of the ksuva, part of the ksuva contract that a husband writes with his wife is that in the event of death, so you will be supported from the estate, right, all the time that you are in amana. Kol yemei amana lasech, something along those lines. But basically, as long as you're in amana, you're going to get support. So basically, the terms of the ksuva is that she gets support, and it's as long as she's a widow. So, what's behind Shmuel's statement that Shmuel says that once she demands a ksuva, that creates an immediate termination of her support? Why should that be? So again, let's take a look at Rashi together. Another important Rashi for the day. Ein la mizonos Rashi. Me'ata de galya daita de baile in suve. What is she really doing when she's asking for a ksuva? She's basically now indicating she's ready to move on, meaning she wants to now remarry. The ihu lo asne bahada. Now, the terms of the ksuva are, is that I'm only going to support you, me meaning my estate. My estate is only going to support you while you're a widow. Bivesi, a widow in my house. Shehi amana bishvil kvodo. So in other words, there basically is the sense of honor to her husband, and so as long as she regards him as long as she's mechabed him, so therefore she is now bivesi. She's in quote unquote in his house. Again, he's no longer with us, but she's in his house. She's basically yielding to him and to the house, and there's honor. Once she's asking for a ksuva, that's the way Rashi seems to be expressing it. It's a termination of kavod, meaning she's basically saying, okay, I want out. Okay, so now she wants out. She wants to leave. So that's it. In other words, she's no longer entitled to her mizonos. So now this woman, as you can possibly understand, this woman is quite upset because she asked for a ksuva. The response is, "Look, I'm really sorry. Rav doesn't allow no money to collect her ksuva for all the reasons we explained up until this point in time." Fine. She says, okay, but at least now let me continue to get my support. Then he said, look, I'm really sorry. You asked for your ksuva. Once you ask for your ksuva, your support gets terminated. So now, as you can imagine, she gets upset. Let's read in the Gemara now her response to all this. So, So she says to him that basically you should be demoted. You should, from the position that you're in right now, you should go down. Because you did to me two things. Meaning, you didn't allow me to collect my ksuva. You're no longer allowing me to collect my support. So, right, this is a position you're in. So basically, she wished upon him that he gets a demotion from his position. Now, havchua lekarse v'tartzua. So the Talmidim there realized that she just cursed him, and understandably. But the Talmidim did not want the curse to take effect. So what they did is they took his chair and they turned it upside down, hoping that that would be a kiyum of a curse. Basically, what did she want? She wanted him to be demoted. So what the Talmidim try to do is manifest that shvua that, okay, the chair is now turned upside down, so he got like kind of like a demotion. But the Gemara says, "V'afilu hachi lo ipik mechusha and lo ifrik mechusha." He wasn't saved. He was sick for the rest of his life, meaning her shvua had ramifications on him, and he was sick for the rest of his life. And again, everyone in this position is understandable, meaning he was passing the halacha as the halacha demands. She, of course, was the recipient of nothing, and she no longer was getting her support. And okay, so in other words, the story played out as it did, but once again now, we've encountered Rav in two more episodes in the Gemara where Talmidim of Rav did not allow an amana to receive her money because they wouldn't allow her to make a shvua, and nor would they allow the Takana Rav Ben Gamliel of subbing out the shvua and replacing it with an edah.
Well, the fact that he died didn't show that he did something wrong.
Well, he didn't die. The Gemara says chusha. Yeah. He was sick.
Because he was sick, so obviously.
In other words,
something wrong.
Right. In other words,
they ask him, not so. No.
Okay.
You know, on the second part,
he felt. I mean, again,
Amazonas.
For sure, that what you're saying is correct, and from his perspective, he did what he thought was the right thing.
I'm like. What became the halacha after him?
Wait, good. There's more Gemara coming. Amale Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yirmiyah Abira Adra Bebezdin V'Ashba Chutz Bebezdin. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yirmiyah Abira, allow women to make a neder in Bezdin. Meaning, let them follow the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel. A woman, a widow, wants to collect her ksuva. Yeah. So, like we learned in our Mishnah, Takanas Rabbi Gamliel is swap out the shvur, replace it with a neder, and allow her to collect her ksuva. The ashba chutz basin, or like we said earlier this morning, if don't make a shvur in basin, make a shvur outside of basin. That's the way Rashi describes it. The shvur de rabbanon less severe, the punishment's less severe. Allow her to make a shvur outside of basin. V'leisi kala v'lipa be'udna de be'ina. And I want this to be publicized. I want everyone to hear this. I want everyone to know that women can collect their ksuva. Excuse me. And a man can collect their ksuva. And I want the bate dinim and the rabbanim, and I want everyone to know that this is halach lamaisa, that women should be able to collect their ksuva, the almana should be able to collect their ksuva, either using the takana of Rabbi Gamliel, like we learned back in the Mishnah, or by making a shvua outside of basin. Okay, so again, what we learned today is that essentially they did find a way for Naaman to collect. There was a tkufa during the early period of the Amoraim where they didn't allow Naaman to collect. Okay, admittedly, it's difficult to understand. In other words, the Mishnah and Rabbi Gamliel made a takana so that women can collect. And the early Amoraim, I mean, obviously they felt they were right, but huh? Seemingly. I'm only armed with the same information you are. So, you know, I can only guess how long this tkufa lasted, how far reaching was it. I can only guess.
So Rabbi Rabhuna was paskening against Rabbi Yitzhak Takana.
Seemingly.
He came after it.
Okay, Gufa, we're now towards the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara is going to go back. Amar Ebzira, Amar Shmuel, Oshana Allah Aman, Ava Grusha, Mashmin Oso. So when it comes to Grusha, so you can allow her to make a Shua. So the Gemara says, V'Grusha Da'adra Lo. So the Gemara says, now, as far as the Grusha is concerned, what about a Neder? What about allowing her to make a neder? So Va'al Shachamitam Ech Plonisa Bas Plonis Kibalt Kita Minyada De Acha Bar Hedri De Mitkare Aye Mare. Okay, so this woman got a get from so and so. The Asrad Perish Baolam Allah De Lo Kabelt Miksivasa. So and she made a neder, and her neder was that all the fruit in the world should become asr to me, if I did not receive my ksuva, but she admitted, Ella, Glufkara Echad, Visefer Telem, Echad, Visefer Iyov, Memshalas Beluim. She said, I did get some of my ksuva, admittedly. I got a coat, I got a safer, an old Sefer Tehillim, I got a Sefer Iyov, I got a Mishleg. Okay, that's, you know, back then that's what people owned. People owned Sfarim. So she said, but that's all I got in exchange for my ksuva. So v'shamnum, and they did an appraisal in court. Top of the next amud, v'chamisha mana. So it was, the whole thing was, in other words, everything she received so far was appraised at 5 mana. So l'cheshetavoli etchem hegbiu asoshar. And so the court order was is that when this woman goes to you, so obviously she's entitled to the balance. So I want you to collect. I'm writing as a court order that you can collect the balance. So what happened over here? We have over here an episode, an incident where a woman received a get, and the allowance was for her to make a neder. Now, a neder, what again?
She should have been
swearing. All right. A neder was only a replacement, a special takana that was made on behalf of the almana. Right. The neder was not allowed for the grusha. For a grusha, in order for her to collect, she has to make a shvua. Mm-hmm. She has to make a much more serious pronouncement in court regarding the fact that she hasn't got paid anything. Over here, we have an episode, an incident with a grusha, and in court, they allowed her to make a neder, which is lighter. So why did they do that? So the Gemara says, Ravashi, I get Yevamim Hava. So Ravashi says, no. This was not a get in the classic sense, meaning she wasn't a grusha. She was really an almana. So why are we talking about get? Because this is in the context of Yibam, meaning she was married to a man. The man died, her husband died, and left no children. So now we go back to the first Masechta in Seder Nashim. This takes us back already some time now. We are at the end of Seder Nashim, towards the end of Seder Nashim, Gittin and Kedushin. But in the beginning of the Seder, we learned Masechta Yavamos. And we learned back then that a woman now who is a Shomer Yavam, so one of her brother-in-laws is going to have a mitzvah of Yibam. There really are only in the Torah only two options, either Yibam or Chalitza, but we spent a lot of time. And Yavamos learning that if one of the husbands give her a get, now get really doesn't speak to a Yavama, but it passes her now from the ability of doing Yibam to any one of the brothers. A get is going to be passeling her. So if one of the brothers were to write her a get, so that would passel her. That's what's going on over here, says Rashi. Right? Rashi writes, Yavama hayazesh and asan laget le posla ala achen. So the get was written in order to disqualify her to marry any of the brothers. Vihi bala gavas ksuvam nechse bala rishon. Shinizam ala himenu. But the truth of the matter is that in terms of collecting her ksuva, she's really collecting her ksuva as an almana. None of the brothers are going to be doing the mitzvah of Yibum. She now is a widow in the classic sense. The only reason why we mention get is because one of her brother-in-laws wrote her a get to passel her. But truth be told is that fundamentally she's an almana, which now we understand the story. The story is that she went to court and the court allowed her to make a neder. Isn't that only an institution for an almana? She is an almana. Okay. Hitkin Rami Gamliel Zakin Shetei Noderis. Ama Ravuna. We are continuing now in the Gemara. We're on Lamed Hamed Beis, the two dots, 3 lines down. I'm Rav Huna Lashono Ela B'Shalo Nises. Aval Nises Ein Madirin Osam. So the Gemara says like this. We have our Amana. We allowed an Amana to substitute a Shvur for Neder. So that in order for her to be able to collect her Ksuva, so she will not be able to make a shvur, nobody, right? She was prevented from making a shvur for the reasons we articulated earlier, but Rami Gamliel made a takana that she can make a neder replacing the shvua, and that would be fine. But, says the Gemara, let's consider that after being an almana, she has not yet received payment of her ksuva, and then she gets married again. She's still entitled to her ksuva. In other words, again, she'll lose her support, but we're not talking about support. We're talking about her ksuva. She's still entitled to her ksuva. She's still a note holder. So now, here comes the problem. Problem is, she's going to go to court, and the court's going to say, okay, you're not going to make a shvua, but at least you'll have to make a neder. But now let's consider, she's a married woman. What can the husband do to her nedarim? A husband can be made for her neder. So even if she is not telling the truth, all is good. I mean, it's not good, but in other words, from her perspective, it'll work. Because she'll go to court, she'll make a neder, she'll go home to her husband, she said, look, I had to make a neder because I had to tell them that I didn't collect all my ksuva. Between you and I did collect some of my ksuva. I don't want to violate my neder. Do me a favor, could you be made for my neder? and husband can be made for a neder. So that presents a problem.
After divorce?
Huh?
After divorce.
This is, no. This is her second husband. In other words, she's an almana. She hasn't collected her ksuva. She then remarried. She's still entitled to collect her ksuva. But now the problem is that when she goes to court, she'll make a neder, but she'll go home, and the husband can be made for the neder.
Does that money belong to her or her husband?
Well, no, it belonged to her. The husband can enjoy the payers of that. Yeah, in other words, yes, it'll be nechzei malug. It'll be filed under nechzei malug, but it's hers. So the Gemara says, so now with all that stated, so we have a problem. So Ravuna says, it's more than a problem. It just now becomes an impossibility. So, and let's see the Gemara again. Am Rav Huna l'shanu la b'shlo nises. Aval nises ein madir inosa. So nises my taima, de mefer labal. So the Gemara says, oh, what the husband's going to do is the husband's going to be mefer. Kilo nises nami, l'chi mincava mefer labal. So the Gemara says, if you're right, so can we just project a little bit into the future? Let's say she makes a neder before she gets married. In other words, she's looking to collect her ksuva before she gets remarried. And now, after having collected her ksuva, she now goes and gets married, and she can say to the husband, look, as a first act of marriage between me and you, can you please do me a favor? Can you be made for the neder that I made before we got married? So the Gemara says, that's not going to work. Ain't a baal made for bekodmin. The Gemara says, but we know that a husband can only be made for nedarim that she makes while married. A husband cannot be made for nedarim that she made previously. So the Gemara says, okay.
Husband.
There's another way to get out of a neder. There are two ways to get out of nedarim. Number one, a husband. That's the one mentioned in the Torah. Number two, the one that's not mentioned in the Torah, is Hataras Chacham. You go to a Chacham, you tell him the neder that you made, and you ask for a Hatara. So the Gemara says, Kasav Tzarich Lefarit in the neder. So, the only way that a chacham is going to be matir neder is if you go to the chacham and you say to the chacham, hey, I want out of my neder, and the chacham's like, okay, but do me a favor before we go any further, could you tell me the story, why did you make a neder? Well, I'm a widow and I collected my ksuva, and they only allow me to collect my ksuva if I made a neder, so I made a neder. So the chacham at that point in time, assuming he's a chacham, I mean, that's by design, that's why it's called the chacham, so the chacham's going to say, what are we talking about? I'm not going to release you from that neder. Rav Nachman Amar Afilo Nises Vada Mefer Labal. So the Gemara says, now, Rav Nachman says that even if she gets married, she can still collect her ksuva and she'll make a neder. So the Gemara says, how are you going to do that? Isn't the husband going to be made for the neder? So the Majin Le Barabim. So the Gemara says, well, what we'll do is she'll make a public neder. And the public neder is unbreakable. Makes for the Gemara challenges. He says, go Viksuvasa Im Nadra. So my love, Nadra Hashta. Now, isn't the Bryce describing where she made the neder right now? Lo, the Nadra Mikara. So the Gemara says, no, she made a neder previously, and the husband cannot be made for a previous neder. So the Gemara says, but we also know that if a woman made a neder, she can collect her ksuva. So even if she made the neder after she got married, so tanahi. So the Gemara says this is reflective of the fact that there is a machlokis in terms of whether a woman, or for that matter anybody, who makes a neder barabim, whether it is hafarable by the husband. I know a combination of Hebrew and English, but in other words, can a husband be mefer a neder that was made barabim? That's a machlokis. If you hold that the husband can't, so good. So allow her to make a neder barabim, even after she gets married. If you hold that a husband can, so then she can't make a neder after she gets married. Does a woman or anyone really have to be mefar neder? Rav Nachman Amar Tzarich, Rav Papa Amar Tzarich. Rav Nachman Amar Tzarich, Di Amar Tzarich, Zimnin Degayez Leila Dibure. So the Gemara says, look, even if you require to make a, to explain the neder, so maybe Gayez Leila Dibure, literally she'll cut out some of the words. She will not explain everything. And the Chacham only is only going to be made for whatever little information is given. Rav Papa Marzarach Mishum Milsa Di Isura. So And Rav Papa says no, that there's a requirement, there's a need to be mefarin a neder. So the maybe the neder was made over a dvar iser. Rashi explains kagon al gibu iksuva kagon yasu alai kol perish ba'olam im avor avera plonis ubal lahatir nidro stam v'rotz alavor avera. In other words, sometimes the neder was done in order to ensure and to safeguard she doesn't do anything bad. So, if the Chacham needs to know, why am I being made for the neder? If I'm being made for the neder in order to allow you to do something bad, like collecting ksuva that you already collected, or like violating avera, which you prevented yourself from doing because of a neder, so under those circumstances, the Chacham needs to hear the neder, so to prevent her from doing an iser. Okay, so let's come to a conclusion. Let's wrap up what we've seen so far today. We started the Mishnah today about an almana being unable to collect a ksuva because the chachamim prevented her from making a shvuah, because an almana A does not understand the serious ramifications of making a shvuah, B will justify her any prepayment of ksuva that she received as payment for taking care of the children, so therefore they prevented her from collecting a ksuva. Rabbi Gamliel says that this is impossible. Possible situation, so he made a takana that will sub out a shvuah and we'll replace it with a neder. We learned today that during a small tkufa of the Amorayim did not rav and his talmidim did not allow a woman to collect her ksuva. Neither shvuah nor neder was allowed to further collect her ksuva. But then the Gemara says that that kufa came to an end, and either you make a neder in court, you make a shvuah out of court, and you come and you collect, and an amana can collect her ksuva. What about collecting her ksuva after she remarries? That presents a unique problem because now she has a husband. The husband can be made for the neder. So the Gemara now is, we're in the middle of discussing in the Gemara various ways of perhaps allowing her to make a neder even while she now has a husband who could be made for her neder.